I once attended a really interesting board meeting. And yes, board meetings can be interesting sometimes. This particular board meeting was my first board meeting at my first church where I was employed in my first full-time clergy position. And so in this meeting, we had the leadership sitting around these tables, and they were going around one by one, introducing themselves and their role in the church. And after they had all concluded, it came back to the clergy that were sitting at the table, and our senior pastor began introducing myself and my colleague as the new associate ministers. When he had finished introducing me, he said, "Oh, and Katie has done some really interesting work on evangelism as part of her thesis in seminary." And when I looked up as he was talking about this, I saw my moderator at the time, and her eyes had gotten really big. And so one of the other leaders said, "Oh, tell us a little bit more about that." And so I began describing my thesis project on evangelism and how I was passionate about that and how I had dove into studying postmodern culture and how this interrelates. And I looked back at my moderator, and her eyes had gotten even bigger, and her mouth had kind of dropped open. I was really confused, and I didn't know what was going on there. So at the end of the meeting, I went up to her and I said, "Is there something wrong? Are you okay?" And she said, "Well, Katie, it's just, we don't say that word around here." And I was thinking, well, what did I say? And I said, "Well, what are you talking about? Tell me a little bit more." She said, "Well, we don't say that word. We don't say evangelism around here. That E word." And I grew more and more confused by this conversation. And I said, "Well, you mean?" And she continued by sharing that evangelism had become a dirty word in the Christian language. She shared that too many churches had taken it to the extreme with speeches of hate or words about salvation and condemning other people. Too many scary people would go out to the corners and hold up signs on behalf of the church saying, "Repent, the end is near." And so she continued this conversation by saying, "So we just decided that we're not going to say this word around here. And we have removed it from all of our church documents, including our bylaws, our committee structure, and any of our meetings." It was then my turn in this conversation for my eyes to get wide and my mouth to drop open. And I said, "Oh." Now, luckily, I was smart enough to know that this was my third day on the job in a new church, and so I just shut my mouth and I walked away. And that was my first board meeting as a full-time pastor in my life. Evangelism. That thing we avoid in our mainline churches. That part of the gospel that we want to skip over because it can make us itchy. That darn E word is now a dirty word in the Christian language. And let me take a minute to describe this sermon series because our regional minister already got confused about it and called me. When we're talking about dirty words, we're not talking about getting up here and exploring vulgarity. We are not talking about exploring all these things that I might say where the regional minister thinks I need another clergy boundary training. When we are talking about dirty words, we are talking about words in our Christian language that have gathered a bit of dirt, a whole lot of dust, and a bad reputation in the mainline Christian community. Words that have been hijacked and dominated by fundamentalists and those who wish to inflict their judgment over God's judgment. These words are words that we can get scared of in our faith life today because of how people might interpret them and what they might think about us. Evangelism is our first dirty word. And over these next 5 weeks, we are going to take these words, we are going to explore them, we are going to embrace them, we are going to redefine them, and we are going to reclaim them. Because these words are very important to our Christian faith and our Christian language. And language is right at the heart of what we do. Evangelism is what Jesus did in the Gospels. The Greek word evangelo means literally the good news. Jesus moved from town to town, person to person, sharing a story. The story of God, the story of himself. Evangelism was what Jesus was all about. He embodied the good news. He was, of course, the perfect example of how with every breath, every eye blink, every day, our faith could come alive, be shared, and change lives. And so we meet our Jesus in the Gospel of Matthew, again in a mountaintop moment. And as I have said before, when Jesus is on a mountaintop in Scripture, you pay attention. When Jesus is on a mountaintop in Scripture, you what?
Amen.
Amen. But you need to pay particular attention to this Scripture today. Because not only is this a mountaintop moment, this is his last moment. These are his last words to his disciples, his final instructions after resurrection and before he ascends back up to heaven. These verses we hear today are what is known as the Great Commission. The Great Commission is not an invitation. It is not a piece of advice. It is a command from Jesus to his disciples to share his story, God's story. And when you read this text, your attention might be drawn to the alls that are found in this story. There are four alls in this text. Jesus has all authority given to him. We are to make disciples of all nations. We are to teach that we should obey all that he commanded during his earthly life, and the promise that he will be with us always. These four alls capture much of what this paragraph of Scripture intends to communicate, and also the central message of the Gospel of Matthew. This is the first place in the Gospel of Matthew where Jesus commanded his disciples to go out and evangelize beyond the Jewish community. This is the first time in the Gospel of Matthew where Jesus said, go and take my message now to everyone. Go to everyone and share the story of God's love, of life, of salvation. And these final words of Jesus task us with one thing, to do the same, to embrace evangelism. Christians are tasked through the Great Commission to share their faith. And yet, in a technology-saturated, postmodern, secular time, we are so afraid to do so. Because we have seen what harm this word can cause people. Because we have seen the either-or preachers, the believe this or go to hell prophets, the loud, angry Christians proclaiming hate, and we don't want to be like them. And yet, this task of the gospel, these final instructions of Jesus are still there. And yet they have been so misunderstood, so manipulated to selfish aims, so utilized to build up power and to build up greed, that our history as Christian evangelists is almost shameful. My generation, the millennial generation, are some of the pioneers of postmodern thinking, which says relationships trump institutions. But we are also the most secular and most religious unaffiliated generation ever. The generation born between the years of 1981 to 1996 is the most secular generation ever. The role of institution of church and the role of gospel is quite frankly disappearing because, in my opinion, of two things. First, we, the Church Universal, have let the voice of hate be louder than the voice of love for too long. We, the church, have let the voice of judgment be louder than the voice of inclusivity for too long, because we, Coolwater Christian Church and Disciples of Christ, have allowed ourselves in God's unending, unfailing, unjudgmental love to become the best-kept secret from those who so vitally need to hear this story. The spiritual, but not religious, now more than ever associate the gospel and the Church Universal with hate, judgment, and exclusivity. And these same people who were surveyed when asked what they thought Jesus represented said that they thought Jesus represented love, inclusivity, and embracing. There is something wrong when the church as institution and what people believe Jesus stands for aren't the same thing. The second reason is because we have disowned our Christian language. We have disowned the Great Commission, and maybe not intentionally, and maybe we haven't even realized it in most cases, but many Christians have allowed the word evangelism and the spreading of the gospel to be hijacked by hate and linked to a narrow, one-way understanding of God's ultimate grace and salvation. We have turned the holy task of sharing God's story into a checklist nestled on a clipboard and messages of hate proclaimed on protest signs directed at anybody who was not part of the group protesting. There was this girl, let's call her Jess, who I sat down with a few weeks ago. Jess had grown up in a church who not only embraced evangelism, but were extremely passionate about it. Jess and her brother were taken to church every week by their grandmother who raised them, and for a long, long time they loved the music, they loved the worship, they loved the people. These people were on fire for God. They were passionate about Jesus, and they really dove into what the Gospels were saying. Their preacher, a middle-aged man, often preached on how important conversion was. He preached the message of how Jesus went around preaching to sinners to repent and follow him. And so every Saturday, members of this church would gather and make signs and go down to street corners with a megaphone and signs that read, "You're going to hell, and God is America's judge." And they would stand there, and they would shout at anyone who passed by about their predetermined salvation, telling them if they did not join them, their church specifically, and they did not believe what they believed, their doctrine specifically, that they were going to hell. Jess shared. She was so young, she didn't know what she was doing. And so it took her years to realize exactly what was going on. And finally, she was there one Saturday on a street corner as a teenager with her church. And a mother of her friend passed by and smiled at her. And before she could say hello, her church member got on the megaphone and got in her face, proclaiming that she was going to hell. And it was in that moment that Jess realized something wasn't right. So Jess started to question, and once she started to question, her church turned on her. How Jess experienced church was harmful. How Jess experienced church left her with massive spiritual baggage. How Jess experienced church made her never want to go to church again, all because of this extreme misconception of evangelism. And because of this, Jess was angry, very, very angry. And at the end of her speech, she said, "How can you believe in, let alone stand for this God and this Jesus who hate everyone?" So I sat there, a little shaken up and caught a little off guard, and I listened to her silently. And finally, when she was done and was obviously upset and very emotional, I looked at her and I said, "I am so sorry that the church has hurt you so much. I am so sorry that you are so angry at religion, but I have to tell you that that Jesus, the judgmental Jesus who went around proclaiming who is in and who is out, isn't the Jesus that I know. And that God, the God who focuses only on damning people and condoning daily acts, isn't the God I believe in. My Jesus is a Jesus that is full of compassion and shows mercy. And my God is a God of grace and love for everyone, no matter what. And because of Jesus and because of God, I have never spent a day in my life feeling like I was totally alone, because I know God is always with me. And I have never spent a day in my life feeling like I am completely unloved, because I know Jesus sacrificed everything to show me that I am beloved." And just sat there after I finished, upset, but now in silence. And I sat with her through the messy awkwardness of that moment. And then we hugged and we parted ways. Evangelism, true evangelism, is not hate-filled speech. Evangelism, true evangelism, is not self-righteous judgment of the other. Evangelism is an opportunity to share your faith, an opportunity to introduce the love of God and the good, life-giving words of Jesus to someone who so desperately needs to hear it. Because you all, there are so many people out there that need to hear your words. The Great Commission calls us to do this. This wonderful, messy work of sharing the life-changing story of the gospel of Jesus. This wonderful, messy work of inviting people to be part of the journey, part of God's story, part of Christ's church family. So my friends, it's time to pick up this E word, dust off the dirt, and add it back to our Christian language. Because you might not know who needs to hear your story today. You never know who just might need to hear of God's love. You never know who just might need you to be the arms, the ears, and voice of Christ today, remembering that it is always about this and our story, and it's always found in the alls that we find in this scripture. All of God's love for all of God's children, all of the time. That is our message. That is what we proclaim. That is what we are called to do in evangelism. Amen.